Hello, everyone. We will continue in our Bible study through the book of Matthew. Now we come to chapter 20. It's so rich here that it's easy to settle down and spend a lot of time on certain passages. And I will do that where necessary, but I want to try to keep moving as well. Chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven, not in heaven, but of heaven. It's in heaven, but it will be brought to this earth. It's from heaven. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. A landowner trying to get labor to help him out in his farming operation, his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Everybody agreed, this is the wages. He went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. The third hour, according to reckoning at that time, was about 9 a.m. My wife's uncle had a big ranch out in Carlsbad, New Mexico. And we stopped by to see them one time on a trip. He had a wonderful place, and we drove around. And he said, my biggest problem is finding good workers. He said, I can't find good workers. He said, I'll go downtown, and they'll be standing on the corner waiting for somebody to come pick them up. And I'll drive up, and I'll tell them, well, get in the back of the pickup, and I need help. We're going out, and you work for me, and I'll pay you. Well, how much are you going to pay? Oh, $9, $10. Nope, not enough. He had to drive on down the street, and then there would be some people there that really needed it. And he'd tell them $9 or $10. Boy, they got in the pickup, and away they went. And he said, that's how I'm able to keep this ranch going, irrigating, herding the cattle, and all that kind of thing. Is I find people who will work for a wage I can afford, and then I treat them right, and they come out here. But a lot of people just won't work for that wage. So what I'm reading here kind of brought that back, how he had a hard time finding laborers to help him on his ranch, just like this man had a hard time finding people to work in his vineyard, but he had to keep trying. He went out about the third hour, or 9 a.m., and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. First, he went out early in the morning and hired them. So you're going to see, this is probably a 10 or 12 hour day that they worked. They worked hard. A lot of people work hard today, but a lot of people don't. And the work ethic is under assault, that's for sure. So he went early, he hired some laborers. He needed more, so he went out about 9 o'clock, hired some more. He said unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the 6th and 9th hour and did likewise. 6th hour was 12 noon, 9th hour was 3 p.m. And about the 11th hour he went out, that's about 5 o'clock, that's toward the end of the day, and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand you here all the day idle? And they said unto him, because no man has hired us. And he said unto them, go you also in the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when even was come, so see, you're looking at about a 10 or 12 hour day, when even was come, well, it was sunset, so it was probably around 6 o'clock or so, and the people that were hired at 5 o'clock probably worked an hour. The people that were hired early in the morning probably worked 10 or 12 hours. And the others worked less, but then he hired some, and they came out, and they only worked an hour or two, but for the same wage. They all agreed on it. That's what they agreed on. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Give them their wages. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and you have made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do you no wrong. Did not you agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go your way. I will give unto this last, even as unto you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is your eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen. And that's telling you right there what he's talking about here. He's talking about people who are called into the church and are given the opportunity for eternal life. Okay, now my wife and I I'd have to count it up real quick. But we have probably been baptized maybe 54, 55 years. And all those years we've served in God's church, and most of that in God's ministry for over 50 years. Well, what about people who come into the church now? And let's say Christ comes in a few years. And so they've come into the church and they may only have been baptized five, 8, 10 years. Is God going to say, well, since you were only baptized for 10 years and the Rices were baptized for 60 years, they're going to get way more in the kingdom of God than you're going to get? Is that what he's going to say? The answer is no, he's not. They're going to get the same thing, eternal life, that we're going to get eternal life. God says that he judges us by what we do with what we have. So he's going to judge us by what we do with the 60 years we have in the church, if we live that long. And he's going to judge these people who've been in the church 10 years by what they did with those 10 years. And if they did more with those 10 years than we did with those 60 years, they're going to have a higher reward. God is totally fair. It's what you do with what you have is how he judges us. Not how long you've been in the church as compared to how long somebody else has been in the church. And that's the point he's making here. You agreed to work all day for this wage. The guy that came and worked for an hour agreed to work for the same wage. That was the agreement. So be thankful for the wage. And when we were baptized, we said we're going to endure all the way to the end, and if that means 60 years, so be it. The person who came in later, 5 years. Okay, they endured to the end, so be it. That's totally fair. God is fair. He judges us by what we do with what we have in terms of talent, ability, and also in terms of time. And so he says, the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. There's a lot of people that are called, they don't do anything with it, so they're not chosen. Later on, they'll do something with it, hopefully, in the second resurrection. Those that are chosen are made up of people who are called, and they follow up on that calling, and they start obeying God, and they start following Jesus Christ, and they start yielding their lives totally to him, so then they're chosen and placed in the church. Those who are called but don't do that are not placed in the church now. They'll be placed in the church later if they follow up on their calling. Now, some people say, well, I want to wait and be called later then. No, I'm glad I'm called now, and I'm glad I've been chosen now. I'm glad we've been in the church for 54 or 5 years. Look at the tremendous blessings we've had. Look at the opportunities we've had. Look at the chances to serve that we've had. Look at the character that we've been able to build. I don't want to miss out on any of that. The person who is in the church only a few years toward the last, they didn't have all that abundant living that we did, but yet they can still have eternal life if they do with their time all that they're capable of doing, as we hopefully have done with our time. And the end result will be eternal life. You served well in your 60 years, you served well in your 10 years, come into the kingdom and here's your assignment. And that's how God thinks. He's totally fair, totally just, and he's totally impartial in the way he deals with all of us and in the way he gives salvation to us, eternal life to us, and in assigning us our responsibilities in the kingdom. And I believe this, when we are assigned our responsibilities in the kingdom, I think it's going to allow us to reach our full potential. And nobody's going to say, well, boy, he got a bigger job than me, I flunked out, all I've got is eternal life. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. If he has the ability to fully go there and reach his potential, and I have the ability to fully go here and reach my potential, what more can you have? You're going to be happy if you reach your full potential. And I think if the attitude is right, and we overcome and grow and endure to the end, that's the way it's going to be. But some are not going to follow up on their calling, and some are going to say, I'm not treated fair, and they're going to wash out and not make it. Or they'll hopefully follow up on it later and then be chosen. But in order to be chosen, we've got to follow up on our calling, and that's why so few are chosen right now. Verse 17, And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, he took them aside, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. That's pretty sobering, devastating news, isn't it? But he told them that, and it was time for them to hear it. And shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him, desiring a certain thing of him. Now, if you do a little research, you'll see that Zebedee's children were James and John. Let's just turn to one scripture. Matthew 4 and verse 21. See, these people were all carnal yet. They weren't converted. It wasn't all, but a good part of it was about position and power. Matthew 4 and verse 21. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed them. So Zebedee's sons were James and John. John, the one who wrote the book of John, and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in Revelation. And James, his brother, who was an apostle, but who was martyred rather early, not the one who wrote the book of James, which was Christ's half-brother. That's something you have to keep in mind when you read in the Bible. Sometimes there's more than one named James and more than one woman named Mary, and so you have to do a little research to get that sorted out in order to fully understand. So their mother came. Can I talk to you about something, she said, desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What will you? What can I do for you? What do you wish? And she said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your kingdom. I want them to be right there with you. That's a tremendous position, tremendous power. Can we count on that? And Jesus answered and said, You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We're able. You're going to be able to go through what I'm going to go through? Be persecuted the way I'm going to be persecuted? Beaten and martyred? The position I'm going to have in the kingdom is going to be given to me because I am going to have to go through a lot of things and actually be sacrificed for the sins of all mankind. And you want to sit beside me on the right hand, on the left hand? Are you prepared to go through some of those things that I'm going to go through? Oh, yeah, we can do it. He said unto him, You say that, and you will indeed go through some of that. And a number of the apostles were indeed martyred. They said unto him, We are able. And he said unto them, You shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. My Father in heaven is in charge of that. He'll organize his government in the world tomorrow. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren, against the two brothers. In other words, when the other apostles heard all of this, they were really upset and incensed that their mother would come and ask such a thing and that they would say they could do such a thing and they wanted such a thing. And probably a lot of them, being as carnal as they were upset because they were jealous that they would ask such a thing and might get it and what about us and all that kind of thing. They had to all repent. Let's understand that, brethren. The apostles had to repent deeply and be baptized, and you can see how that happened. And as you read on through the New Testament, a tremendous change takes place with all of them. Pride is replaced with humility. Getting things is replaced with service. Conversion and the fruits of conversion just blossom in their lives as you read on through the book of Acts and so on. But before that time, God saw in them what he needed to see to choose them to be apostles. But they had human nature, and they had carnality that they had to overcome and repent of and be baptized. And until they did that, Christ had to deal with quite a bit of carnality. Peter, for instance, on more than one occasion got out of line because of that. Verse 25, But Jesus called them unto him and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, They're all about having power and lording it over people. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. People in high positions lord it over others. But it shall not be so among you. For whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. This is a different way of life than the way it is in the world. You don't have a position of power so you can boss people around. If you're given a position of power so you can serve them, give to them, take care of them, look after them, and that means you are converted and think like I think. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. You want to know who's going to be in charge? It's the one who serves others and serves me. That's who. Not the one who takes power and exercises it over everybody else. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. Please heal us. Please restore our sight. Please make us well. And they were determined. And they had such faith that they wouldn't quit asking. I've known blind people, a number of blind people in my life. I remember in one church that I served, a husband was blind, the wife was blind, and they had two beautiful children that weren't blind. And yet they managed to take care of them. And they had a happy marriage and a happy family. But they were blind. I wish, and I thought about it a lot, if only I could anoint them and they would be made well. And I did anoint them, and God could have healed them, but that's his choice. He knows when it's best to heal. But think about what a miracle this was. Just think about it. You know, sometimes when I read something like this, I'll take time just to close my eyes. Okay, now I can't see. And then just get up and carefully walk around a little bit. Be careful so you don't stumble or hit something or hurt yourself. But sometimes when you read about something like this, in a safe place, just close your eyes and get up and just walk around a little, just a few steps, being careful, with your eyes closed. People who are blind, they can't see anything. They don't see the sunrise, the sunset. They don't see where the furniture is. They can't drive. They have to be so careful wherever they walk. They can't see their loved ones. This mother and dad never saw their children. They would feel their face and their hair, and they would get a picture. So you can see how these people, these two men, they desperately wanted to be healed. And they had heard about Jesus Christ. They knew he could do it. And they cried out, Have mercy on us, O Lord, you Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. Can you imagine people saying, Be quiet. Don't bother him. Button it up, you blind people. That didn't stop them. They just yelled louder. They cried out louder. They cried the more. And Jesus stood still. He stopped. Here was all this multitude saying, Shh, be quiet. Leave him alone. But Christ heard him, so he stopped. The whole multitude standing around, he stopped. See, that's the way he was. He had so much love, so much mercy. And no matter who says what, brethren, when you need God, you cry out to him, he's going to hear you. Don't be shy. Don't be bashful. I don't mean you need to yell, but I mean pray to him. Ask him. Don't let anybody else stop you from asking. He's there. He'll hear you just like he heard these two men. Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will you that I should do unto you? What can I do for you? You're calling my name. How can I help you? And they said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened, please heal us. And look what he did. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. And what'd they do? And they followed him. What a miracle. What a blessing. I wonder if the multitude rejoiced over that. Probably some did. Probably a lot stayed silent. And of all things, they were telling him, be quiet, don't bother him. But they kept on calling and asking, and Christ heard them, and he healed them. And then they had perfect vision, and they followed him. What a blessing. That's all going to happen again, and we'll be a part of it in the kingdom of God. The Bible says that. And it's happened in the past. It could happen right now if God sees fit. But it's definitely going to be happening in the kingdom of God, and we're all going to be a part of it. I just want to remind you as we close, Isaiah, let's notice, Isaiah chapter 35, Isaiah 35, verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Isaiah 35, verse 6, then the lame man shall leap as a hart, the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And verse 1, the time of this happening is the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose, the kingdom of God, the world tomorrow. And we're headed in that direction, and we'll be a part of all of that. And what a blessing it'll be able to heal people with God's power that he gives us to do that with. In the kingdom of God, and make them completely well, just as Jesus did here. So, that's in our future, and that's something to really think about and be thrilled about. Well, we made it to chapter 21. We'll pick up there next time. This is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.